Welcome to Discoville, where we discuss both Star Trek Discovery and The Orville here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we take an in-depth look at each of those shows and discover that both of them can coexist in today's fandom as they introduce us to fresh, new, and exciting stories, characters, galactic destinations, and so much more. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, it isn't Norman or Kevin in the captain's chair. And that's very true. I've sent them away on an away mission where they are possibly following a group of immortal aliens. We're not 100% sure on that. But do not worry, because even though I, Kyle, am in the captain's chair, and it's funny, I thought this would be a little more cushy. I'm feeling a little robbed here. I have, once again, with tempting her with plenty of Romulan ale. I don't know if I even have any left in the stores. But our good ambassador, Miss Amy Nelson, is back on the show. How are you, Amy?
Hello. I am doing so well today. Very excited to be back on Discoville.
Yeah, and you know what? We thought we were just going to have a nice, peaceful little episode, but then a bunch of subspace signals came in that we're going to have to address. But it's gonna be fun. We've got some interesting things to talk about. And you might be going, well, Kyle, why aren't you doing a Discoville episode review in this episode? Well, a little problem in the quantum engine, the quantum fields. We got to dock for some repairs, but we got the Romulan ale and everything's going to be good. But before we do anything, let's open up some hailing frequencies and tell you where you can not only find Discoville, but all the great shows on these subspace channels at the Fandom Podcast Network. It all starts with our homepage, fpnet.podbean.com. If you have your tricorder, you can find us on FPNet on your Podbean app. Just search Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and for you Android device users, you can find us on Google Play. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Discoville Pod. On Facebook, you can follow the Fandom Podcast Network homepage, or you can join the Discoville group page, which we highly recommend, especially as things are starting to get rolling now, and we're getting closer to season two of both the Orville and Disco starting up. And of course, you can email us at discovillepodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at akylew and on Instagram at akylefandom. Amy, where can people find you on social media these days?
You can find me on Discoville on the Facebook page. I'm very excited to be there and love seeing what everyone's talking about. And I am also on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson.
And of course, you can also find Amy on some great podcasts on our friends over at Trek FM. You've got Earl Grey. You've got Postcards from the Edge, The Edge. Anything else that you know?
That's it.
Transport the Transporter Diaries. Anything like that? And of course, the holidays are coming, and what better way to enjoy the holidays than give some great Fandom Podcast Network gear to your loved ones or your fellow aliens or whatever might be in the works this week. So visit our TeePublic store and search Fandom Podcast Network at teepublic.com, where you'll find our store where we have shirts, we have amazing tapestries, we've got mugs, we've got laptop cases, we got iPhone cases, we got it all there. And of course, I see Miss Amy is rocking her Discoville shirt. She wears it very well. It's quite a good look for her.
I love it, and it's a great design, so definitely go check it out.
And of course, iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback. We like to know if we're doing good, we're doing bad, or what we can do to improve, or what you're liking. So please drop us some reviews on iTunes. It just makes everything for us work that much better. But we're here to talk about a little Discovery in this episode, because we've had a lot of things happen with Discovery. So we've tapped open all the Romulan ale. Amy's already got a head start on me, so I got to catch up. So let's go ahead and head into the Officer's Lounge. So previously on Discoville, last episode, we did our Quantum Drive rewatch of the Orville with the episode Cupid's Dagger, where we discussed how dreamy Drillio is, isn't he, Amy?
He is just dreamy.
But however, in our travels to get to the next episode of our Quantum Drive rewatch, we've encountered some spore interference in our Quantum Drive this week. Well, so we're going to dock, do some repairs, and we have something new to discuss from Star Trek Discovery as we have received our first new Trek short, Runaway. Now, heavy spoiler alert, because we're going to talk very much about this short and a lot of things that happen into it. Now, first, Amy, I know we were announced for four shorts, so this is the first of these four Trek shorts. Were you excited about these? Because I know people were kind of like, is this, they weren't sure what to expect with these.
Well, you never really know, like, is it an episode? It's only 15 minutes. How much can you get from it? So, and it's this new format. I don't know any other show that has done a short like this. So new style of receiving new content. So I was very excited to see how it was going to play out. And I was very, very happy with what I saw.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it too, and I'm very curious. I love the fact that each episode is going to be character focused. It's focusing on one character. And of course, with Runaway, our first of these is of course our favorite new ensign. Of course, Miss Tilly is the focus of this. And this was a very interesting short in a couple of aspects. But so let's talk about this. Runaway opens on one of the cargo holds of Discovery as we get some very interesting technical shots of how kind of things operate in the cargo hold. And this was probably all their budget for effects in this episode, in this shoddy. Amy, I was like, wow, okay, I'm actually kind of impressed here that they're putting this much effort into a short.
Yeah, and, you know, we now know that there's 5 shifts going on because they were closing out the 5th shift, so... A little bit more.
I was going to say, you're probably pretty low on the totem pole if you're on the 5th shift.
That's why I didn't recognize any of the people.
Yeah, that's it exactly. But lo and behold, as some cargo is getting unloaded onto the Discovery, there's definitely something that probably wasn't on the cargo manifest as we see a translucent arm come out of one of the cargo crates. And then we see it get a cut and it's a bright orange reddish blood that drips down onto the ground. And then we kind of go into a scene cut, but not a very ominous start for this short. I was like, what, do we got a little Predator feel going on here? What's going on? But the scene shifts to Tilly's room as she's there by herself, as her roommate is probably off doing something with somebody at this point, but she's having quite the conversation with her mother, more like a one-sided affair. As they discuss Tilly's impending transition into the Starfleet Command training program. And I gotta say something, Amy, I wonder if you agree with me, because I think apparently Tilly's mom goes on vacation with Alara Catan's parents quite often because they seem to treat their daughters in a very similar way.
Yes, I don't understand Tilly's mother. I mean, I understand you want to protect your child, but you don't want to scare your child so much that they don't even try things. And Tilly has been successful in getting into Starfleet. She's now on Discovery, which is, you know, one of the advanced ships in Starfleet. And so she's going to do the command. And her mom, I don't know, I just wish that she was a little more supportive.
Yeah, I mean, your daughter just made ensign. She helped save the universe. She just got accepted into the command training program. And yet all the focus is on, I don't know if this is a good idea. She's making a comment about how much coffee is sitting on Tilly's desk. Also, she talks about a time when Tilly was younger, how she ran away from something she had that she was struggling in. Instead of finishing it, she ran away from it. And that's going to be a little important later. But yeah. Parental support, not so much on this for Tilly, and it kind of actually explains a lot of maybe why her character is the way she is.
Absolutely. It really does give so much context to what we see Tilly and her reactions so far now.
Yeah. So Tilly, like many of us have done, lets off a little stress relief after her mom has hung up the holo phone by basically screaming at the top of her lungs into her pillow. We've all done it once. I don't care what anybody says. And then it's off to get her much needed caffeine fix. And this was kind of one of the funnier moments of this short as Tilly is getting, what was it? A quadruple something?
Espresso. Yes. So, I mean, espresso's already strong, but then to quadruple it.
And when the ship's computer is advising her against this and warning her that it's really too much. And of course, Tilly puts out basically the threat to the computer, and the computer finally acquiesces to her request.
And that side eye that she gives the, you know, the food replicator is just classic. It's so good. Like, what do you know? Yeah. Don't give me any advice. I know what I want.
Food Replicator's about to get some revenge, though.
Yes.
So as Tilly is enjoying her much-needed caffeine fix, she encounters our cloaked intruder, which leads to the greatest Star Trek food fight ever. Because as our cloaked intruder somehow manages to, appears to at least short something out, which sends the Food Replicator into overdrive, and it is a great scene where it's just, it's naming off like meal after meal after meal, and it's just shooting all across this mess hall. And I'm like, how fun must it have been to film that scene as they're all throwing food at Mary White, at Tilly? I mean, it's gotta have been hilarious to film.
Well, when I saw it, living in Las Vegas as I do, I felt like I was in a casino because the Food Replicator, the doors were up and down, and the bling, 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 bling. It sounded just like someone had won the jackpot on a slot machine. It was hilarious.
Which in turn led to the short circuiting of the camouflage there briefly. Think of our alien invader. I have to bring up something here. As Tilly's kind of exploring before the food fight started, she notices the blood on the ground. I think she broke a little protocol because she sticks her finger right into this glob of orange goo.
Her unprotected finger.
Protected. I'm like, Tilly, I don't think that's part of command training.
Yeah.
As we go along, we see now this alien appear covered in food like Tilly, but they manage to bond over what else? Ice cream.
Ice cream.
I mean, ice cream, the great peacemaker. And we basically learned this. It's not so much a predator, but a scared teenage girl, nonetheless, from planet. Now, how is this pronounced, Amy? I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Zahia.
Yeah. And of course, as Tilly introduces herself and meets her new friend, Mihani Ikaya Hale Ka Po, or we're just going to call her Po for short, I think. Now, as they bond over this ice cream, Tilly makes the call instead of turning Poe in, and it's probably very good that Lorca wasn't the captain at this time.
Yes.
And brings her back to her quarters to try and help her.
So I just really have to question her choice with that. And then especially when she, you know, analyzes the blood and it's like, okay, well, there's nothing dangerous because otherwise the automatic, you know, protocols would have taken care of it. But especially when she finds out that she's this intergalactic fugitive, she doesn't notify anyone. This is way above your pay grade, Tilly. That's very questionable for me and her choice.
Yeah. I'm thinking, my question was too, I understand we were off of fifth shift, but you got to think somebody was going to hear that ruckus.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about after the food and then some crew members came walking in and she gives the excuse of some rabid or, you know, well, what was it? Some
rabbit. It was some rabbit. Somebody had rabbit that escaped from testing.
Yeah. Really? Okay. So first, we're still testing on rabbits. That's.
Yeah. And we're testing escaped on live animals after Lorca.
Yeah. You know, and then like the other people were like, oh, okay. And then back away. Like, oh, well, let's help you find it. Let's, you know, go on some kind of alert. And anyways, it was a little weird.
I was going to say, maybe there is a reason we haven't seen the lower level discovery crew yet. Yeah.
They're not following protocol, it seems.
Yes. So we cut scene, and here's where I kind of think maybe the time frame of this short hurt it in the aspect, because all of a sudden now we get almost information overload.
Mm.
And because we learned that Zaya is rich in dilithium and that Poe is pretty much a scientific genius. And this is something I have to ask you, Amy, because I am very curious, because it's basically she's come up with a method to incubate and recrystallize the dilithium as a gift to her planet. Tilly, no slouch in the brains department in her own right. You can tell how shocked and impressed she is. Like, okay, this is kind of a major thing in Star Trek history here.
It is. I mean, a way to refurbish and reuse dilithium crystals? I mean, this is, we saw in season one when the planet was attacked by the Klingons, and they had to go save them, right? And they had to do the jump to save the mining colony because they needed dilithium crystals. So this is something that is major, and she's found a way, this endless reusable energy source. It's pretty massive.
Well, and this is even way before Star Trek IV, where they have to re-energize their dilithium crystals. Yeah. So I've got to ask, I mean, this is kind of, in a way, it feels like it's almost rewriting a major technical issue in Trek. How did you feel about this?
And I try not to stick to canon, you know, and so I'm like, well, I've just got to go with it because I can't worry about all the times that on the original series or TNG or any of them, when they were running out of dilithium crystals and like the crystals were this small and they only could, you know, go to warp for so long. Like, there have been too many episodes where dilithium crystals was a major factor. And now we learn that it doesn't necessarily have to be. So that is a tough pill to swallow for me.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. You're rewriting something pretty major here in this little short. And I'm just like, this has massive ramifications on the history of this universe.
Yes, yes. And so I'm wondering if they're going to talk about it in season two, or if this is just its own little short and we will never get access to the Zahian planet or its crystals. I mean, it's one thing, yes, if one planet, you know, has the capability to renew their crystals, but we don't have access to it, then that would fit into canon. But it seems like that the fact that Tilly knew that Zahia had already reached warp capability, so Starfleet and the Federation are already aware of this planet and its accomplishments. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but it is major.
Yeah. Now, as the conversation between Tilly and Pope kind of goes forward, it deals with a lot of moral issues, especially I found like environmental issues as Poe is concerned about giving back to her twin, which we find out the people were birthed the same time the planet was, which I find very interesting and a little confusing. They didn't really quite explain that well.
Again, this was something that I've tried to wrap my head around because it seems like Poe wasn't wanting or wasn't being listened to because she was the young one. But then that doesn't make sense if everyone was born at the same time she was. If everyone's born, then how do you have parents and a brother? And you know, I don't understand it. I've tried. So let me run this past you. This is okay. What I've thought, and you let me know.
Okay.
So I was thinking that she found a planet that she was doing her science projects with and found a way to recrystallize the dilithium. That planet is her twin, and she's trying to save that, but it's not the planet where her species is from.
Yeah, it could be. And this is something when we get done talking about the episode, I'll bring up too, because I have suspicions on this, but I'm not 100% sure. But as their conversation goes on, you really learn that Tilly and Poe actually have a lot in common with how they see themselves and see their role in both in Poe's case on her planet and Tilly's case on Discovery. And they both kind of come to the realization that they are running from things. Tilly, obviously, from the command training and things with her mother, Poe from her not wanting to share her scientific discovery. She wants to heal her planet, not have it be used as something that would basically violate her planet, or that people would use it to destroy her planet.
Right.
So they both kind of come to this realization. They both kind of hit the grow up button is pushed, because they both kind of kind of have this moment of growing up until he agrees to help Poe get home, which leads them to yet another curious thing on Discovery, a completely unmanned teleportation station, especially with the way teleporters are on Discovery. There's a lot of logic leaps in this short.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I mean, I'm willing to play with it a little because they are just shorts, but yeah, there's a lot of logic leap. And at the end of the episode, we discover Poe is actually the queen of her people and that she was about ready to be coronated as their queen. And that is kind of how the episode ends. This was a very fun little short. I mean, I had fun with this outside of the logic leaps and a couple other things, but just watching it and it being Tilly, it was so much just fun to watch. And I think it was something that we needed because I was jonesing for some Discovery. I mean, this both on Discovery and Orville, this break has been just, I think it's really hurt a lot of the momentum both of those shows had at their season's end, Amy.
Yeah, and I think these short treks are bringing back the momentum because I know I'm enjoying them.
Yeah. So a few questions that came out of it, and we kind of addressed it some as we were talking about the episode, but let's go back to this. These shorts, do you think they are going to have an impact on later episodes of Discovery, or do you think they're going to be kind of one and done kind of things? Because there's a lot of hanging plot threads in this that I could easily see showing up in an episode of Discovery later on, whether it's this season or a couple seasons down the line. This is something I don't think you can leave just hanging out there, Amy.
Yeah, I really do hope that these shorts are going to get mentioned and discussed a little bit more throughout. I mean, introducing a whole new species of Zahians is pretty big deal. And the dilithium crystals, pretty big deal. Like, I don't see how we could be just one and done with these shorts. So I'm guessing, and I really have no idea, but I'm guessing and I'm hoping that we will see this discussed in season two.
Now, we've talked about it. There's a lot of big deal things that happen in this short, even though they're kind of underlied in it. But how do you feel about something like this being revealed in a short like this? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's something that's like, this is not really the place for something like that?
So you mean to like introduce a new species or dilithium?
A new species to hold the dilithium crystal issue, all of it. I mean, there's a couple of major Star Trek history bombs in this 15-minute short. And I don't know if this was the place to do it. Introducing a new species is one thing. Changing the history of dilithium, that's quite another.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, we have to be introduced to new species one way or the other. And I'm fine being introduced in a short. The dilithium, again, that's another huge, big bomb dropped. I don't know if that was the place to say, oh yeah, we can recrystallize them. I don't know. That's sort of the big one, but I really liked meeting the Zahians. It was nice and short. It was very focused. We learned a lot about them, a lot about their history. Well, supposedly I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, but you know, this creation story of the planet and the species being born at the same time sort of lends itself to Discovery discussing that they're going to be more spiritual, you know, for season two, that now we have this creation story that sort of lends itself to that. So I like it.
Now, the other thing that was a big highlight for me in this short, Amy, and it's, of course, the Discovery makeup team continuing to nail it out of the park with the Zahian design. This alien was beautiful. I mean, and absolutely. It's... Not only I can't wait to see the male of the species at some point because I would love to see there to be some difference, but it was humanoid, but they made enough changes to make it very interesting because it could come across as very vicious easily, but it's a very intelligent race.
Very. I mean, that was made very clear and evident with the way that Poe was speaking and her accomplishments, you know, and she seemed quite proud of all that she had done and sort of dismissed Tilly until Tilly you know, put her in her place and was like, I understand what you're doing here. But absolutely, the coloring and the shading and the prosthetics were just all spot on with this race, the Sahians. I really, really enjoyed it. And down to the fingertips and the spikes coming up on her back and just everything worked so well.
Yeah, the Discovery design team needs to be up for an Emmy. Between them and the makeup work that they do there, these guys are phenomenal. And they, again, once again, hit it out of the park. And I think finally, before we kind of close out on these shorts, and we talked about it a little bit, Amy, I think these are the perfect way to fill this last little bit of gap before we hit the premiere of Discovery. I'm be curious to see as they create more and more Star Trek content, because Alex Kurtzman has said that's in the plan, if they'll continue to do these shorts, because I actually think CBS, with everything being on CBS All Access, these shorts are a good thing to kind of bridge or fill that those small gaps between things.
Yeah, I think that they are going to do more shorts, and based on, you know, people watching them and sort of the fillers. However, by the time, and maybe we'll talk about this, but, you know, we got some news that the Picard series will be coming out. So, and it sounded like they're not going to have duplicate series running at the same time. So it seems like eventually we'll have Discovery running and then the Picard series and then back to Discovery. So there may not be room for shorts once we get into 2020. But for all of 2019 and until that Picard series, I think these shorts are a really good idea. I think it's changing television. I would not be surprised if other series would do this.
No, I completely agree, especially with the way streaming is coming. But speaking of premieres, I think it's time we dive into a little bit of what's going on with the Orville and Discovery. So once again, it's time to we intercept some subspace signals. So all the signals we intercepted in our constant gathering of information all come from that strange area we call New York City. As New York City Comic Con took place over the weekend, as we're recording this on October 8th, and let's hit before we talk about Discovery, because there's a lot of signals from Discovery we're going to talk about. But let's talk about the signals we didn't get. And that was nothing on the Orville, because due to scheduling conflicts with filming and like literally days before the con started, it was announced that the Orville panel was canceled and there would be no cast appearances at New York City Comic Con. Now, Amy, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I am feeling with the Orville, especially, I think even more so than Discovery, this time gap, and because we've gotten so much less on the Orville, my enthusiasm for the upcoming season is dying a little bit. But I'm still want to watch it, but I'm like, I need something to kind of get me going again. Yeah. And them skipping New York City Comic Con, not even saying, okay, Seth, go out there for a couple of days. We can shoot some scenes you're not necessary. Or some of the creative forces behind it, not at least making an appearance and doing a bit of a panel, just seems like an error in my part. Not a good decision on that.
I agree, because getting people to know the actors, I mean, it's been now 2 years that I've seen some of these actors on Discovery, and that's what endears me and loves Discovery even that much more, because now I'm getting to know these actors and that they're accessible. They're on social media and stuff like that. And so for Discovery to pull back, like, you need them out there promoting to the fans. And the fans are going to be at these Comic Cons. And so it is a shame. I mean, even some of the secondary characters they could have had and still, you know, done some panels and just got the people and the word talking about Discovery. The Orville. The Orville's going to be premiering before Discovery. Like, they should be in promotion mode way sooner than Discovery. And Discovery's already promoting, so.
Yeah, it makes me a little concerned about what they're talking about and what the status might be of Discovery after this second season. The Orville might be after this second season, and what the Orville is going to have to do to create a third season. What kind of numbers is this show going to have to pull? Because, you know, we talked about it a little bit. It's coming out now after football, so there's going to be no moving it around the schedule and everything like that. And it's got a lot of competition, not only with Discovery coming out at the same time. On another podcast we talk about, there's a certain Doctor who's now officially made their new appearance, and people are going gaga over that, which, and rightfully they should. But you know what? The worst part about this for the Orville, I think, is the fact that Discovery was at New York City Comic Con in force with some huge announcements, because about 2 days before New York City Comic Con, it was put out on social media. Discovery season 2 will be in January 2019. No date, mind you. But then at New York City Comic Con, it was announced Discovery season 2 will debut on CBS All Access on January 17th, 2019. And then they dropped the new trailer.
Yeah. So before we talk, I just wanted to go back to the Orville. And when you ask what kind of numbers are they going to have to get, they are on a network. Like, it's not paid like CBS All Access. They have to seriously have some numbers or they're going to get canceled. And it saddens me because I love the Orville. And then I'm so grateful that Discovery isn't on a network. It's on, you know, a subscription service. Because now Discovery doesn't really have to worry that much about numbers because people are paying to see it. And right. So there's that difference. And, you know, with everyone complaining about paying for CBS All Access, like, I know that I'm going to get a season 2 and probably a season 3 and a little bit more. And I don't have to worry that not everyone in the world is watching because this is a subscription. But with the Orville, I worry quite a bit, and that they don't have the promotion and going to these Comic Cons, it really does worry me. I'm glad that they're in for season 2. But yeah, I just don't know if it's going to continue.
Yeah. Plus it's Fox, and you know, we know about Fox.
We know about
science
Fox.
Fiction. Yeah. But
okay. So go back to,
On to the happier things. As we said, we have got a new trailer for season 2 for Discovery. Focusing more, it looks to me, on the story that's going to involve Spock and the great mystery now of this Red Angel.
Right? What is that?
I mean, there's so much. The thing I loved about this trailer, too, was, I mean, we developed the Spock side of the story, too, but more Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
Yes. And she's handing out, is this me or is she handing out Black Deltas?
Yes, she is.
I'm like, okay, this can, and I love to see where she's talking to Ansem Mount's Captain Pike, and he thinks it's the Giorgio of their universe. Mm-hmm. And the way she's talking, and you're sitting there like, oh, this is just, you're just squirming in your seat in this little scene of this trailer. I am more excited for more Michelle Yeoh on season 2 of Discovery, and it's going to be so much fun. But again, the biggest thing with the season 2 from this trailer that I pulled was two things. One, still, it feels more of an action adventure, but still going to have a little bit more lightheartedness this season. And I think we're getting a lot more individual character development, because it looks like we got some stuff going on with Saru, a few other things, but I don't know if I'm up for Scruffy Spock.
Oh, come on now. Come on. That's not even an issue. And I think, who is it? Ethan? Oh, wait, what's his name?
Ethan Peck.
Yeah, Ethan Peck. He's going to do fabulous. I mean, the choice that they have made for these actors, I am beyond elated. I am so looking forward to Ensign Mount. I was telling you this before we started. I cannot wait to see Captain Pike and Ensign Mount. Like, it's just, that's what I want to see. That is what I'm most excited for. I want to see this. And then you're right, this development of these characters and, you know, a number one, just super, super excited.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I'm very intrigued with this Red Angel storyline. I think what's going to be fun about this season of Discovery is it's going to be a really true mystery throughout the season. And I think that's what's going to make this quite fun. But the action sequences look incredible. I'm going to say this right now. This might be the most beautiful show being produced right now. The visuals on this are so beautiful.
Yeah, they were. And the trailer just highlights them all. It is very beautiful.
But
so what do you think about, do you think we're going to see Spock? I mean, we're not going to see him right at the get-go. It's got to be way in the season, I think. Because you're right. It's this discovery. It's this clue. It's this what's happening. We're not going to get Spock until the end. That's my prediction.
Okay. For a while, I was thinking we wouldn't get Spock till the end. Now, I think it's going to be one of two places where we're going to see Spock. Mm-hmm. We could see Spock at the end of the premiere episode with him disappearing again throughout for the season. I could roll with that. Or we're going to see Spock at the mid-season breakpoint. The end of that mid-season breakpoint, we will see Spock.
You know, they're not having a mid-season break.
Now, that's true. They had one last season, and they don't have one scheduled for this season.
Right, because now they're starting after the break.
Yeah, so it could be, okay, let me put it this way. The halfway point of the season.
Okay.
Because they always kind of tend to have that big episode halfway through the season. Okay. Because the impression I'm getting, especially hearing interviews with Ethan Peck, is that Spock's got a bigger role to play in season 2 of Discovery than most people realize. And we're going to talk about that because after they aired the trailer for the crowd at the New York City Comic Con, the panel started. And the panel started off big right out of the gate because it was moderated by surprise guest Rebecca Romijn.
Yes. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love that casting of her as number one. I am excited. She looks great in the trailer.
She does.
Perfect in the trailer.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I know some people are saying they don't want this, but just with the casting that they've done alone of these characters, if they want to do even a one season thing of the Enterprise with the Pike, with this crew, with Ansem Mattis Pike, I know a lot of people want to get away from that this part of the timeline, but please, I'm all for that if that happens, because that the casting is just too good to not use.
Yep.
I am all for that. But also joining Rebecca Romijn on this panel were Sonequa Martin-Green, Doug Jones, Mary Wiseman, Adam Rapp, Anson Mount, Shahzad Latif, Mary Chifo, Wilson Cruz, Michelle Yeoh, and executive producers Alex Kurtzman and Heather Caden. Talk about bringing in the big guns.
Yeah, that's like all of them there. Of course, we saw them at STLV, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But not Heather Caden, so that's new. And not Michelle Yeoh. I mean, that's huge.
That's huge. My jaw would have been on the floor and been like, I've been having similar reactions to Patrick Stewart walking out. I know. Speaking of that, Alex Kurtzman did open the panel with announcing that the writers were about 4 weeks into working on the new Picard series. So very exciting there.
I know. So exciting.
And I mean, between the tweets Patrick Stewart put out on social media showing pictures in the writers' room, to hear that from Alex Kurtzman, every little thing that they announced is just that much closer to this Picard show becoming reality.
And I think 2020.
It's not going to be here soon enough. But there were some great highlights from this panel, including Michelle Yeoh returning in a very prominent way as Mir Georgiou. She pops up on the Enterprise dress once more in a prime counterpart in scenes with the Enterprise with Captain Pike and Lieutenant Burnham. On the Vulcan side of things, Spock voiceovers that he's seen the same vision of a fiery angel since childhood and appears at one point to be in a medical bay in torment. And these are things that they talk about from the trailer. That's kind of a big thing that Spock's been seeing this thing since childhood.
Right.
And we also get in that Burnham has revealed that she has shared that same vision with Spock's mother, Amanda. So more interesting things from that trailer, as well as several serious action scenes And a scene where Discovery is hit by an asteroid or a comet that does some serious damage to Discovery.
Yeah, I didn't know what was up with that. That's a little scary there.
Yeah. There was also glimpses of a new Klingon design inspired by the season 6 TNG episode Rightful Heir, according to Mary Chifo later in the panel. The idea was taken from the Kalis story, which was that the Klingons would shave their heads in time of war and grow out their hair when not in active conflict. The story details how Kalis created the first Batleth by cutting off a piece of his hair and bathing it in the lava of an active volcano. Okay, yes. Amy, we know your love for TNG. How do you feel about this?
I'm so very excited, and I love having TNG references, so this is just great. And so glad to see the Klingons. I hope the fans can just roll with it and not be so concerned that the Klingons are changing their look yet again. So I'm very excited. I love seeing the Klingons reimagined and going through their character, what we learn about them. So very excited.
Yeah, I am very excited about that too. And I'm loving actually kind of this evolution of the Klingon species that we're seeing right before our eyes. I think it's actually very interesting. And I think when it's all said and done, all those people who had complaints about how the Klingons looked in season one are going to be like, okay, we jumped the gun.
Yes.
Give him a chance to tell their story. Now, as far as Anson Mount is concerned, he went into more detail about how his captaincy will differ from Lorca's. Not that hard to do, mind you.
Right. Yes, it should be different, and I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah. Pike knows that a good leader has frailties and publicly, so he's known his greatest asset is his crew. He's not afraid to admit that he's stumped, and he regularly throws out the question out to the people around him, which makes for great bridge scenes. I'm all in on this because we don't get enough of that bridge crew, because that bridge crew was so much fun when they were given a chance.
Yes. Yep.
And then on Paul Stamets, Anthony Rapp explained that Stamets is still in the grieving process of losing Hugh Culber. There was no time really to deal with the loss because we were in the middle of trying to save the universe. So now it's what is next. It's been really, really meaningful and satisfying to tell that Potter's story, he was quoted as saying during the panel.
Oh, that is so good, because so many people were just wondering what's going to happen. Like, this is a major relationship in his life. You lose someone. There's a lot to go through and to process and to balance, your grief with your expectations of being on a ship and performing your duty. So that makes me so very happy to see maybe some closure with Wilson Cruz.
Yeah, we're going to get to Wilson Cruz here in a minute, but I think one of the most fun things that came from this panel was Ethan Peck. He didn't know who he was reading for, and that resulted in some pretty interesting revelations. This is what, before he knew who it was, I knew this guy was struggling with emotion and logic. And towards the very end of it, I found out who it was. And I had a panic attack throughout the last meeting with Chris.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine? Oh, you've been reading for Spock, by the way.
Yeah.
can I get some of that Romulan ale, please?
Let me breathe into this brown paper bag. Oh my gosh, hyperventilating.
Yeah, excuse me for a moment. I can't even imagine that you go into a meeting. Oh, well, you've got the part of Spock. I mean, if that's how you find out. I mean,
well, did you see that picture? Now it's making more sense, because we saw that picture on Twitter, and he was just sort of collapsed on the ground, leaning against the outside building with his head in his hands. I'm like, that just sums it up. Right there, it's like, yeah, this is a major mantle that you are now going to carry for the rest of your life, because us fans will never forget that you, Ethan, are Spock.
Yeah. Now, Doug Jones stepped up and talked about Saru as well, and what he might be looking at this season is Saru finds out something about himself and what it means to be Kelpian that he did not know, and you don't know, and I can't tell you today, but this will be altering and challenging for him. He's on a path to evolution, as we all are, and we get to go to his home planet. You get to meet his sister, the lovely Serana, and my planet, Kaminar. I'm a prey species there, so who is the predator? We might find that out too. I'm all for this. More Doug Jones. I am all in, and I love the fact that we're going to get more into the Kelpian history, because I think, especially towards the second half of Discovery, Doug Jones was the highlight of the show. So
yes, he was. And to see his home planet and his siblings, this will be very interesting.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about Hugh Colbert. Let me put it this way. Wilson Cruz was extremely enigmatic about Colbert's reappearance in season two, only saying, "We find him where we left him." This could either mean he's in the Mycelio network or the morgue.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Damn you, Wilson Cruz!
Yeah, that's not an answer. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. I also, towards the end of the panel, Sonequa Martin-Green teased the image of the Red Angel that was so prominent in the trailer. She was quoted, "The big mystery of the season is the Red Angel and these signals that it puts out. And as you saw, the Red Angel appeared to Burnham at the critical moment. And what all of us find out is that Spock has seen this Red Angel too earlier in his life." Mm. Michelle Yeoh came up again and said she is still gleeful to portray the erstwhile emperor, and even demanded the audience bow to her when Rebecca Romijn introduced her. "It's much more fun playing Section 31, Giorgio. I get to play the captain because this poor man, Pike, has no idea who I am. Then there's only a handful of people who know that Emperor Giorgio is in Section 31. It looks as if Starfleet is keeping with canon and suppressing all knowledge of the Mirror Universe."
Ooh, dangerous. Yep, something's got to give. You can't
leave Giorgio running around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Giorgio running around is bad.
Everyone on Discovery knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone. Not everyone. Let's say the bridge crew and the higher ups on Discovery know.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. So the bridge crew, I mean, obviously Sonequa, and who was it that invited her into? Yeah, the Admiral. So
yeah.
It's got to get out. It's going to get out. Yep.
At some point, yeah, I can't see how it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And finally, in a very fun announcement, Sonequa Martin-Green announced that her husband, Kenrick Green, would appear in season two, though she did not say in what capacity.
Oh, a little walk-in role.
He's going to be the guy cleaning up Tilly's mess in the mess hall.
Yes, right.
Then they've got to open up with that shot. But that is going to close out Subspace Signals, but we've got a little promo here to tell you all about all the other great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. So take a listen, and Amy and I will be right back on our final thoughts of all the fun things we've discussed about Discovery in this week's Discoville.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
We're back, and Amy, we thought we were just going to have a nice little episode here, just a little short to talk about, and we got a lot of major news. First of all, thank you so much for coming on this week's show. It's always a pleasure to have you as being a member of the Discoville family. but you didn't leave me any Romulan ale. Come on.
No, nope. You'll have to resupply next time I come on.
It's going to get expensive real quick. But you know what? So much happened, Amy. And it's a lot to process of all the announcements and what we saw in the short, but you know, I'm really excited about where we're headed with Discovery.
It's so promising. I really like the direction. I like the idea of the shorts. Like, that's changing the way that we are watching TV, and building that anticipation for season two. It's feeding me. It's exactly what I need. I'm very excited. And all these announcements at New York Comic Con and what we got to see at STLV, like, it's just building and building, and I'm so very, very excited. I love the choice of actors that they have chosen and that they are bringing into season two. Very excited. Rebecca Romijn, Anson Mount. And you're right that we get to see Michelle Yeoh again. Like, it's so incredible. And this trailer is so beautiful. And the story, I've been very impressed with the story, even with the short. Like, yes, there were some things that I couldn't wrap my head around, but the idea that, you know, Tilly and Poe are sort of both in a way running away from their problems, but then at the end have decided to face them head on. You know, Poe is going to accept her coronation, become queen, and help her planet go in the direction that she feels is best. And we've got Tilly, who is going to stop running away, go in that command, and I guess ignore her mother, but respect, but may forge her own path that she needs to do for this command program. So it's very, I like the stories, and to me, that's what Trek is, and I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that's being shown from what everything we've seen upcoming for Discovery Season 2 is that Alex Kurtzman and the rest of the people over in the Trek studios and CBS have really listened to the fans. And I think they're taking things in a direction and taking some lessons they learned from Discovery Season 1 and applying it to Discovery Season 2. And I think what we're going to see is in Discovery Season 2 is, I'm at least what I'm hoping for and looking ahead to, is a more rounded season out of Discovery Season 2, where we're going to see more of the cast developed. We're going to see more of a different style of episodes across the board. Now, there's still some things, too, that this we have not seen much in either of these first two trailers that at least still leaves a mystery open for Discovery as well. No, not a lot of Vox yet in any of these Discovery trailers. What's going on there? What are those two going to be up to? What kind of trouble are they going to be getting into? So I think Discovery is playing it right. And I really don't hope they don't put out another trailer now until the season comes out, because I think they've given us enough. They've given us enough to talk about. And I think we're going to be in great shape going forward. So, Amy, I'm really excited about where Discovery is going. I hope we start seeing more Orville here in the next month or so.
Yes, come on, Orville. You can do it. You can do it. We love you. There's so many fans, so many people like Orville, and they just keep on going. Keep on going. Don't give up.
Yes, exactly. And with that, I want to once again thank Amy for joining me on this smaller crew of Discoville. But like I said, hopefully Kevin and Norman will come back with their heads, and we'll be back to a full complement of crew for the next episode. But until then, hailing frequencies are now closed.